If you looked on the website, I had a title. I've changed that title. I've changed that title to Proverbs chapter 8, Eclipsed part 1. This will be Proverbs chapter 9, Eclipsed part 2. As I listened back last week, I realized I preached in the whole time I preached was about 28 minutes, and I was more shocked than you are. And I was going through some things back there with Emily and John this week, and I gave them so much scripture. I kept coming back and kept coming back and kept coming back and kept coming back, and then rearranging a couple of things. And she just looked at me. She said, "I bet you can't do that in 28 minutes." I was talking to somebody else this week, and I can't remember if they told me. They either said, they said in this increment, either 30 minutes or an hour. But they said, "Pastor, you can't even close in 30 minutes or an hour." So I thought I'd start off this morning by just getting this out there. In closing. Okay. All right. So now, see, I worked at Walmart as a teenager. I drove a school bus as a teenager. At 16 years old, I had a full route. Can you believe that? That's crazy. And yeah, it's been a minute. And I worked, they said, come in from 5 to closing. I thought that meant 5 to 9. That meant we'll get you here at 5, but we'll release you when you say that you can go, when we say that you can go. So in closing this morning, like, I can walk out anytime. Yes, you can. This morning, I don't feel a time constraint, but I feel an information constraint. I feel like the inside of our minds can only hold so much. That's human nature. It's not that we don't want to hold it. It's that we can't. So I'm really trying to get a point to you this morning out of chapter 9. And I'll probably have to be in chapter 9 a minute. I mean, like a few services, a few Sundays. And, you know, we've been in Proverbs all year, and we've made it through chapter 8. So that kind of tells you. But I believe in the expository and you understanding what it meant. But I'm going to have to break a lot of this down. So let me just read this one real quick, okay? I'm going to read fast. And y'all are going to be like, that wasn't fast, but this is as fast as I can go, okay? Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her 7 pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come eat of my bread and drink of my wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Difference. One will cuss you out, one will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me, remember me, that's wisdom. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you will bear it alone. A foolish woman. No, so from the rest of this, there's a comparison right here. There is a copycat, if you will. There is a counterfeit. This is going to expose the counterfeit. You remember I told you last week about counterfeit things and how we study the truth, which is God's word, and we study it hard, and we learn his word so that anything else won't fool us. But here comes the counterfeit. And this is like him presenting a counterfeit bill to you. And this is the enemy. This is what the enemy does. You're going to notice very much similarities between this right here, these next few verses, and the first 6 verses. So the last 6 verses and the first 6 verses. But hear this. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing, for she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. You just heard that in verse 4. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Same words. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet. And bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that their guests are in the depths of hell. Do you remember it said in chapter 8, it said, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching at my gates, sitting at the post of my gates daily. You remember that? Well, that's a daily thing. So wisdom will cry out for us on the daily. But the seductress will call to us as well on the daily. And she will get your attention. And she will do everything that she can to destroy your path. You remember the path of the righteous. The righteous path is like the rising sun that grows brighter. So here you get saved. You become a believer in Jesus Christ. And you see his light. But his light should be growing to the full day in your life. And that is a picture of us growing in Christ. And I talked to you last week about syzygy. You remember that word? About three things that line up at the same time. So, I mean, like three like this. Now, look at relative to me. Like, if y'all see three like this, this is a good example of syzygy right here. Now, do you see three? Do you still see three or do you just see one? Tell the truth. I mean, you know my trick. You know my story. Say, I see one, Pastor John. Come on. Don't be the smartest one in the room because you already know. You see one like this, but it's really three. Okay? Just like in the eclipse. The eclipse has the sun, and we just experienced one. We have the sun, and we have the lesser light. Genesis calls the sun the greater light, right? Then we have the lesser light, which is the moon. The Bible calls it that. And then we have the earth. And I gave you a comparison. I said, we are the earth. And God is the sun. And the lesser light is anything that tries to eclipse the greater light. That's syzygy. And syzygy will leave one in darkness. That'll leave one without all the information that they need. That's why the other example that I gave you was three people in alignment. And it was a police officer. We had a shooting in York County last night. A police officer shoots at a suspect because the suspect is shooting at the police officer. And the police officer sees the gun, the muzzle blast, and he shoots at the muzzle blast. And because he's trained and proficient and accurate, he hits what's in line with that muzzle blast, not knowing that between them was another person because it was dark. Very rare thing for syzygy to take place, except for it takes place every day. In the eclipsing of his light in our life, if we're not very careful, a lesser light will try to show itself and present darkness to you. And it may not be total darkness, just like the eclipse that we had. We had a little bit of darkness here, just a shadowing. Other parts in the country had 50%, some had 85%, some had total eclipse, and it went to darkness. Are you understand what I'm saying? So the darkness of the enemy doesn't just always try to block out God, so you can't see God. He'll just try to block out some of God to hit you with darkness. You understand what? So that's our thing, that every time we've got to be aware of that. So this whole sermon, I'm probably not going to mention eclipse, even though this is eclipse part two. That's the eclipse is a catch up from last week. So I'm really just technically getting started. So again, in closing, can y'all tell I'm passionate about this? Because this is serious. We're not playing because he's not playing. And just in case you haven't noticed, the enemy's not playing at all. Everybody's, those that are playing, if they're playing, they're playing for keeps. And God's saying, you're mine. And the enemy's saying, no, they're not. Watch this. And we keep falling for it. We let anything eclipse us. You got, this is an eclipse you can stop, and you have to. When you see darkness, his instruction says no. Not for you. In him is no darkness at all. Who are you? Ephesians says that I live in him. My righteousness now is his righteousness. My positioning in him is his positioning. My what has been done is not what I could do. My what has been done for me is all what he did. So now I live in him. And in him is no darkness at all. That means there's no eclipsing of his light. And he's jealous for himself. And all he wants you to do is see him. No, don't look that way. Right here. That's what he wants. That's really what your spirit man wants and loves. And it says it lusteth, the spirit of God lusteth to envy. So in other words, nothing else. You ever watch TV? And if you watch TV, then you know. It's not going to take long till this babe's going to be in the picture. Okay, that might pass because that's in every TV show. But you're now let's go from that to you ever eat out someplace? And a beautiful person walks by? That's going to happen from time to time. Might not happen so much at the buffet, but it's going to happen sometime. Oh, yeah, I said that. So now let's take it to the beach because we're getting ready to go there, ain't we, y'all? All right, yeah, So what happens at the beach? Dun, 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 dun. And she walks by. But I'm sitting in my chair beside her. If I'm not careful, I'll feel two Superman eyeballs in the side of my head, making sure I'm not paying attention to anything else. That's what I believe the Spirit, when the Spirit lusteth to envy, he knows there are going to be other opportunities for your eyes to get on something else. He says, no, 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 I'm yours, right here, right here. And she should not even have to do that for me. Do you understand that? Say it.
I said, I don't and I won't.
That's understood. I got everything I need right here. Amen's went away. Just saying. So let's go back to chapter 9 in the very beginning. Wisdom has built her house. What he's talking about? Wisdom has built her house. If you check out Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, we understand what he's talking about right here. This is actually, when he talks about building the house, it's the same. The reference from that point takes us to Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus was at Caesarea Philippi with all of his disciples. And he says, who do men say that I am? And some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're Elijah. I don't think. Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah. Yeah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But Jesus said, who do you say? So in other words, he said like this, who do they say I am? Who do you say I am? You got to have an answer for that. You can't go with what everybody else is saying. And if you know, you won't go with what everybody else is saying. If you know whom he is. And Simon Peter said this, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Do you know what that means, Bar-Jonah? That means his daddy's name was Jonah, and Bar meant son of Jonah. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. In other words, your dad has trained you, but he didn't give you what you just said. That wasn't your earth. This was not an earthly thing. This was a heavenly thing that you just got. And then he said, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, the strength of hell, the gates of hell, that's interpreted as the strength of hell, like hell in all of its power won't prevail against it. And that means to be victorious. So if you are built on what his foundation, when all of hell comes against you, the strength of hell will not be able to be victorious in your life. It will not. That's the kind of protection I want. And that's the kind of protection we have in him. Unless we allow some eclipsing to take place. Okay? So wisdom has built her house. She has hewn down her seven pillars. What's it talking about? Seven pillars. Well, in James chapter 3:17, it says it gives us seven things, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. If it's first pure, that means it's his wisdom, and man hasn't touched it, and we've not added anything that helps out what he says. It is first of all pure, then peaceable. That's a big one. I'm going to tell you, that's a big one for a man to swallow right there. Because sometimes we want to follow wisdom with. Yeah, and stuff just starts falling and breaking. And he says it's pure, then it's peaceable. And it not just there, it doesn't stop there. Then it's gentle. There's all kind of, we can be here all day with supporting scriptures on that. Willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. His wisdom will cause you to be doing what he's doing, because if not, you'll be doing what you do. And what you do a lot of times is that we say something for people to do that we don't do ourselves, and that's where hypocrisy comes in. And they pick that up better than your wisdom. You tell them something that they need to be doing in their life, and they're already examining you. You might be bigger than me. You might can take me down, but I know what you did. I know who you are. I know what your mind thinks sometimes too. Quit looking at me like I'm the only one. I know you do it. And they don't say that, but they're thinking it. Kenzie, our daughter, she used to say this. She'd get offended at school. Somebody would say something to her, and she'd say, and I told them, when they said that, I told them this. And she'd spout something out, and Christine would say, Christine, did you really say it to her? She'd say, no, but I was thinking that. See, that's how we are. When we get in somebody that might hurt us, we think things, but we don't always say it. And if we're going to give somebody that's going to help them, we can't. That only works for a second anyway. They're not going to leave there with anything from you. And if they leave something from you, I'm afraid for them anyway. They need to leave something from God. Leave with something from God. That's what will help them. Okay? So now let's try to get into verse 2. She, wisdom, has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. This is huge. She has slaughtered her meat. I want to make sure that I'm giving you the right one. Yep. Chapter 22 of Matthew, verses 2 through 5 says this: the kingdom is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. When this scripture right here says she has slaughtered her meat, it's right into alignment with what he has done in his kingdom for us, that he's calling out, compelling for us to come into. He said, when you come into the kingdom, you don't need to do anything but come into the kingdom. I got it all. I have slaughtered the meat. I have prepared the table. Not just that. She has mixed her wine. Proverbs, just go a couple pages for that. 23 and 30, it gives us the reference for that one. Those who, it says, who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. In search of mixed wine. And when you find it, you don't stop until you've had too much. That's what he's talking about. And he's telling people, you got to understand his context. I'm telling you right from what it says, these are the references that our Bibles give us. He's saying, I'm the wine. Drink of me. What he's saying is, your search is over. There's no substitute for me. There's nothing that's going to give you peace anymore. I told you, when we take communion and we drink the wine, I've just told you this. I'm not preaching against wine. I'm preaching towards wine. Most people drink wine to forget. When he said, take this cup and remember me, he said, take this cup and drink it to remember. We drink wine to forget. He said, drink wine to remember what I've done for you. That's completely different. She's also furnished her table. She sent out maidens. She's arranged her table. She cries out from the highest places, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. There's an exchange that you get with her. There's something that she gives you. You bring in something, lay it down, and you walk away with what she's got. And she says, whatever you come in with, that's not needed. Because when you come in here, everything's already prepared. Been expecting you. Been expecting. You ever showed up to somebody's house and you had an appointment to be there and they forgot you were coming? Like, I'm here. And they're like, oh, yeah, come on in. You'll be ready in a minute. And now you're getting a sandwich when you were going to get roast. Okay, we'll take it. But the scripture's telling us, I got it. I've already got it prepared. You just come in. It's already here for you. Now take that and go against verse 13 where it talks about the way of folly. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing, for she sits at the door of her house on a seat in the highest places of the city to call to those who pass by, who go straight in their way. Here comes the counterfeit. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water, sweet. You see the temptation in that? You see, like smoothing it over on the immediate side, but ain't nothing smooth on the backside of that. What if you listen to her, and you come to God with your excuse? But she said, stolen water, sweet. Stolen. Let's just stop right there. Oh, let's just stop with she said. What were you doing listening to her? How did it get past that? Do you understand it's important? How many times have I preached it's important who we let in our ear? Go all the way back to Eve. She had a conversation with a snake. She had just talked to God. And she entertains a conversation with a snake. We've just talked to God this morning. We've just given him praise for what he's done. We can't afford to leave here and talk to snakes. You talk about eclipse, asking for a full eclipse on that. Whoever's simple. What it's saying, whoever is simple. All throughout Proverbs, it's hard for me, even though I've read it over and over, because we've been reading the Proverbs a day, 31 in a month, and just So we're in the fourth time going through Proverbs, if you're doing your daily Bible reading with me. But every time, I can't help it. I see, even though I know what they are, I still look back at the references. It's just kind of like how my brain works. When it talks about folly, or when it, simple, sorry, goodness. When it's talking about the simple, every time there's a little notation that says the naive. The naive. And I say that on purpose because I need you to look at Psalm 19 and 7 because there's an instruction now for that. Psalm 19 and 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." So this instruction's not just for something or just for nothing. It's not just so that you can hear some wise words. This instruction are statutes from God that'll get you from where you're at. And by the way, he just called it simple. Because when wisdom cried out, it said it cried out to the simple. And then when it said the one with folly, the harlot, who does she call out to? The simple. I know we want to think that he always calls me according to who I'm going to be. But in this case, he calls out to you in your present state. Simple. And he's saying, I need to word that better. It's not altogether the state of you walking into a church, and just because you get here, all of a sudden you're in a different mindset. You still have every proclivity to leave here and do exactly what you just got through doing. That's human state. And he's saying, to the simple I cry out. So why would wisdom cry out if you didn't need wisdom? Wisdom's not talking to himself. He doesn't need to. Wisdom is talking to the ones who need wisdom. And from the high place, he's saying, you, every one of you is who I'm talking to. Because folly's saying the same thing. What he's saying is, there's a counterfeit offer that's going on here. And if you don't recognize it, you are simple. You are naive. How many times do we have to fall for the same thing? If we're honest with ourselves, most of us have one temptation that continually trips us. And, oh my Lord, how did I end up here again? You remember the scripture told us about darkness? Those that walk in darkness, they walk in darkness and do not understand why they stumble. Because you're in darkness. Because you can't see. Even when you put things and arrange things yourself in place. I told you all about the suitcase, the desk last week that I put in place. And my wife said, make sure you don't trip over it. I'm like, I won't trip over it. I'm the guy that put it there. And the next morning, I walk past it just fine. And I go to get my coffee, and I come back. And because I didn't turn the light on, I stumped my toe on it. And I didn't want anybody to know I stumped my toe. I was embarrassed because I stumped my toe. I should have known better. And I was warned. And I'm the one that put it there. I drew the correlation. That's how we are. We'll set things in order on Sunday. We'll go to bed on Sunday night. We'll remind ourselves that thing that was trouble for you last week, do not get near it this week. And on Monday by 4 o'clock, there it is in us. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Can I get just a sip? I'm about to die up here. Please get this. Please get this. Lastly, Psalm 23. In closing, lastly, Lord, help me not to lie to these folks. Yeah. I'm just going to pick it up down at verse 5. Oh, Jesus. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Proverbs 9 just got through telling us that a table is prepared. It's being agreed with in the New Testament. It's being agreed with in the Psalms. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Wisdom cries out to the simple, but the harlot cries out to the simple. You prepare in the presence of the simple. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. Both see that there's an option right there. When you take wisdom, you get everything that comes with wisdom. When you take folly, you take everything that comes with folly. And according to the scripture, that leads to death. So let's read the rest of it. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That means this. There is a table that you have in front of me that I can choose. It, as a simple man, as a naive man, you've taken everything that needs to be there, and you've placed it, and you've prepared it, and you have arranged it. In other words, there's an order for it, and it's all for me, and you've had me in mind, and the enemy's looking at it. Because as soon as you don't take the choice of the table, he's like, got options. I got you. Come right here. You ever been in one of those markets, and they're trying to sell you something at a discounted price, and it starts up here at $12, and the guy says, hey, come here. I know we're selling this thing. I'll sell it to you for $10. And the other guy's like, oh, I'll go eight. $8 over here. I've been down in Mexico. I've seen this stuff happen. By the way, I ended up paying $6, okay? Because I said, I'll walk away. And they're like, $6, and they're cussing. Don't tell nobody I gave it to you for $6. You can have it for $6. Just like take it and go. Like they're mad at me, and I bought it, but I like, eh. That thing's 24 at home. I'm taking $6 and putting it, I'm hiding it in my bags. We're getting home with this. It was a bottle of pure vanilla. $6. Woo. Racked up. That's right. I don't care how mad I made him. I got that bottle for $6. I did good. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. If I take that, if I take the table, my enemy sees it. But he also sees me getting anointed with oil. He sees that it's more than just for me. It runs over because it's not just for me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That means I will return to the house of the Lord. And here's the thing. The goodness and mercy that follows me is in place because I'm still a simple man. I'm still a simple man. I'm still have a proclivity to mess up. That's why grace and mercy, goodness and mercy, that's why they follow me. Now let me show you the flip side of that. If I don't take the table, there's another anointing that tries to get to me. there's another spirit that tries to attach itself to me. And I get drawn in by that spirit, and all of a sudden I'm operating over here in darkness. That's where the enemy traffics, by the way. And he traffics like, I mean, he's in it. He goes right to the place that is my worst place, and he's got me right there in the middle of it because I left the table. And then, this is where it really gets jacked up. I'm not happy with goodness and mercy following me. I'm entitled. I want goodness and mercy out in front of me. Oh, y'all missed that one. I want goodness and mercy out in front of me, like some preacher preached that I should have that out in front of me. Goodness and mercy should be waiting on me when I walk in the door, waiting to give me stuff. Have you heard it? I should walk in such an atmosphere that when I go into the place, the devil flees and everybody's just throwing discounts at me. Then I start walking around thinking, oh, I'm entitled to some stuff. Well, we just left humility right there, didn't we? And wisdom that was first of all pure, well, it's gone. We took care of the purity of it right there. We took care of the gentleness of it. Why? Because somebody else is getting hurt. You want to see somebody else get hurt? Okay, let me preach you this weird sermon. Hey, this is the year of debt cancellation. Who's got a mortgage on your house? It's gone. Just sow this amount into my ministry right now. It's gone. I declare it. I decree it in the name of... No. That is a lie. And somebody gets hurt because wisdom wasn't there. Gentleness wasn't there. So if gentleness wasn't there, somebody got hurt. And you know who it is? It's the person that you owe the money to start with. Who's going to be okay loaning a great amount of money to somebody, expecting that money to get back, and all they do is stand up there and say, oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, Jesus done wiped that debt out. I don't owe you no more. Hallelujah. They're going to say, hold on, cuz. Somebody going to pay me my money. God's not into this weird stuff. You got a college debt? Pay your debt. I did. There's just so much. If we start listening to an enemy a little bit and his light goes away at all, that's... I'm having to stop myself because I want to go to next week, but I can tell you this. The enemy, Satan, tried to preach to Jesus. You think he won't try to preach to you? Okay, we'll stay back in this week. That's a teaser. I want you to, because I'm telling you, he's showing me some things. We want goodness and mercy out in front of us like a shield. When goodness and mercy isn't a shield, he's a shield. Goodness and mercy follow behind me. Follow. Why put out in front of me what's supposed to be behind me? All I've done now is just reverse the coverage and I'm attacked from behind. And also this, when as a human I make mistakes even though I walk in the light, because he never takes our flesh away from us, and we fail. Thank God that mercy and goodness has followed me, picking me back up, dusting me off, saying, okay, boy, let's get right back in this thing. You don't have to serve a penance. He forgave you immediately. I know it's going to stay in your mind, but we're going to renew that mind according to his word. We're going to do what his word says. His word. You understand what I'm saying with that? He's prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemy. We have a responsibility right there. Let me say it a more poignant way. We are responsible for what we choose there. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, we are. We got a choice there. Come on up, honey. Come rescue these people. I'll preach all afternoon. I'll preach all afternoon the way I feel right now. Is it mine to keep? No, I'm just kidding. Billy would give it. Billy would give it. I know he would. Well, there's our brightness right there. That's still bright. That's still bright, but it's eclipsed. Because it's not the full. You don't even want to take that in it. You can't even take all that's there. But if I look at him till I lose my natural sight, that'll be a good thing. Because I'll finally start walking by faith and not by sight. Guys, we're at a place of decision. And you, please don't ever think I'm getting on to you by coming. You're here. You're here. But let today be the start of a week of this. You fellowshipping with God. You living a life that He has for you. Make it. It's just simple as the choice that you make. And after that will come a next choice. And after that will come a next choice. And you'll say, but what about when a valley comes? What about when a trial comes? You'll learn to look forward to it. You say, that's crazy talk. Oh, yeah, it's crazy talk. But this is a crazy life that we live. And we've got a God that can help us through all this craziness. And these things that I go through will make me stronger than Logan. Good night, son. Have you changed physically? I felt so sad for you when I first saw you. I thought, my God, his mom and daddy don't love him at all. He lived off of one box of cereal, got him through 2 years of his life. One box. He ate a Cheerio a day for 2 years. He was so skinny, and now he ain't skinny at all. He's a little bit scary. But, and I'm happy about that for my daughter's sake, my grandchildren's sake. You know, he don't want none of me. Here's the thing. It's hilarious anyway. That's a man thing. Logan, in his mind, something I've seen about him, I heard about it at the beginning. I heard something his dad told me. His dad told me something. He said, when Logan met Michaela, he came home and he said, I'm going to marry that girl one day. I thought, he said that. And he did. And this is what I've noticed about him. If he puts his mind to something, he sets his mind on it and he goes towards it, doesn't he? And he doesn't quit. And I love that. And that's why you love him. That's what lets me know it's going to be okay. He doesn't have to do it like I do it. That's right. But if he's listening to God and following God, it'd be all right. You don't want to look at my path and say, do it exactly like Pastor John did. And I don't want to look at your path and say, do it. But every one of us has hits and misses along the way. And when he shows it to us, then we know. Then we know. And the sooner we go with that knowledge, the better off that we're going to be. But he's driven, and now he goes to the gym. And it inspires me. I don't go to the gym, but I like it. I see him going. I'm like, that's pretty inspiring. I'm still not going, but it's inspirational nonetheless. I mean, it's just going to be honest here. I got to give this back to you, Billy. Thank you. But just like that, I don't want to be the guy that tells y'all stuff that inspires you and you say, well, I like it, that's cool and everything, but I'm not going to do that. Right. This is a choice. It's just a choice. It's a choice. And if we'll make the right choices, we'll end up at the right places. I heard somebody say something like, make stupid choices, get stupid prizes, or something like that. It's kind of funny, isn't it? It's kind of true, too. make wise choices, you'll get wise prizes. You'll get His gifts. And if all we seek is His presence like prizes, we'll miss Him. But if we get Him, we get all of His. If we get His presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, then we'll get His presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. Right? Do you see what I'm saying right there? We'll get His stuff. Because He gives it. He gives it. Matter of fact, when it comes to wisdom that I've just been sweating and preaching to you guys about, He said, if any of you lacks it, ask of Me, and I'll give it to you liberally. I'll pour it out on you. Why? Because the table's already set. He didn't have to say, okay, Logan needs wisdom. Okay, now Logan, yeah, I remember when I made him. Yeah, I remember this about, yeah, hold on, Logan, I'll be back in a minute. No, let me go whip something up special for you. Now He says, I have a table prepared for you, and your enemy's watching to see if you take it. Makes me look at that psalm in a different way. God's watching. Enemy's watching. Looking for holes. And I can tell you this. You won't find holes in God, but you'll find holes in humans, in mindsets, in perceptions. That's why we can't deal with that. We got to go with truth to renew our mind. Lord, I pray that Your light that shines our path, that we do not allow any lesser light to eclipse us, so that we do not face any self-induced darkness. There's an enemy that's always trying to darken the path. That's why we focus on You. You light the path. Darkness is the absence of light. Light dispels darkness. Light wins every time unless we turn the light off. Unless we let something block the light. Lord, I know the decision is ours. You've made it clear. Help us to choose wisely. This is one we can't afford to miss. We don't have time to miss. And we know that we've got an enemy that's against us. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Do you stand this morning?